the peace offering of which this chapter speaks is the giving of thanks to the Lord for all the gracious benefits the Lord has bestowed on sinners through the blood of redemption. That which each worshiper must learn from the peace offering is that one who has been accepted before the presence of God on the ground of a blood-bought pardon will come often before the Lord. The whole idea behind the peace offering is that these things were voluntary offerings. They were not offerings that were required at certain set times. There was to be no limitation then upon them. The idea of the peace offering is that the person who brings it has the testimony of the psalmist in Psalm 116, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. A focal point of your attitude when you come into the house of God ought to be praise to His name. You ought to be in the spirit of thanksgiving whenever you come to sit in this place and to give praise unto the Lord. It is only the mercy of God that you are able to call upon His name at all, that you have not met with some tragedy along the way, that you have not been given what you have deserved. The theme of the peace offering is reconciliation. It is an offering that emphasizes peace with God. That the enmity between you and God on account of your sin has been dissolved. And in its place has come a restoration of true friendship. It is a matter for praise to be able to echo the words of the inspired apostle in Romans 5 and 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace offering draws our attention today, most appropriately so, to thanksgiving's roots at the cross. Thanksgiving's roots at the cross. Here we are on the threshold of the Thanksgiving season. Our Thanksgiving service is going to be this evening, and then this week is the national holiday of Thanksgiving. Here is a great theme for us to ponder. Where do the real roots of thanksgiving lie? Where, to change the metaphor, is the foundation ground for us to engage in thanksgiving? The peace offering was designed to demonstrate to the one offering it the blessings that come through the sacrifice that was typified on the altar of the tabernacle. The sacrifice being the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. That was the whole point of the peace offering. The worshiper was to come with the peace offering and to remember and to rejoice in the truth that when the burnt offering was offered for the people, when the sin offering was offered for the people, God accepted the offering. And so the offerer was to rejoice in the great reality that the sacrifice of the altar had gained admission for the offerer to the presence of God. He could come before God without any fear or any terror. Now that is to be your attitude. When you come to worship the Lord in this house, there is blessed joy in knowing that God is not your enemy anymore. There is blessed joy in knowing that God has taken the cause of that enmity that existed and has removed it. Not on the ground of anything that you did or could do, but on the ground of what He has done in and through the person of the Redeemer. You can give thanks today. And here is where I believe our thanksgiving must begin. Here is the place from which it really does grow. You can give thanks today because your acceptance before God is on the ground of the Savior's blood. And therefore, your acceptance before God can never be revoked. Whatever you think, or whatever the devil may suggest, there will never be the reinstitution of war between you and God. Now, I think we could just leave off right there. We'd have plenty on which to meditate in giving thanks to the Lord. We could join with the hymn writer in the refrain of that hymn, "Hallelujah to the Lamb who died on Mount Calvary." Because He died on Mount Calvary, we are no longer at war with God, and God is no longer at war with us. We read in our congregational reading this morning those words from Hebrews 13 that deal with the sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. That's the New Testament equivalent, you see, of the peace offering. The peace offering is the sacrifice of praise. So let us offer that to God, Hebrews tells us, continually. These peace offerings took place every day. Worshippers would come every day out of the joy of their hearts. Not because they hoped by making the offering they would appease God's wrath against them. But simply out of the joy of their hearts that God had accepted them on the ground of the atoning sacrifice. They came to rejoice. They came to give thanks. And so the Bible reading presents us today with the question, are you a thankful worshiper of God? The circumstances of your life may be grievous. The people who heard these words were going to be spending a long time in the wilderness in very grievous circumstances. But still, they could bring their peace on. Your circumstances may be beyond anyone's ability to understand or to express. You may be like Job himself and feel yourself overwhelmed by all the trials that the Lord has sent upon you. But let your attitude toward God today and through the days of this season be determined by this great truth. Jesus died for you. Not just as part of some great unidentifiable throne, but He died for you personally, individually, the just for the unjust, that He might reconcile you to God. And if you don't know the Lord today, it's my prayer that you would come to know Him, so that you will become one of those who can truly be thankful. It's always amusing to me, I'm sure it is to you as well, this time of the year, to hear people in a strictly secular context, perhaps feeling some slight tinge of guilt, to acknowledge it is Thanksgiving. Well, we're supposed to be thankful. So they talk about what they're thankful for, but they never say to whom they are thankful. And they're clearly a little uncomfortable with the whole concept because they think that somehow or other it may be acknowledging that someone else has done for them that which they now enjoy. Those who know the Lord are truly thankful because they identify the source of every blessing as coming down from above. If you're among the people of God today, you come to give today the sacrifice of praise. You come to do that this evening as we gather together for this service of thanksgiving. There are four roots of thanksgiving for us to ponder today. They all come from the cross. Without the cross, we would have no cause such as we now have to give thanks. The first of these roots is the blessing of salvation. Indeed, they all have to do with salvation, because that is the message that the cross has proclaimed. The blessing of salvation is the first of them. The one who brought the peace offering to the door of the tabernacle did so because he was happy to be among the redeemed. This was not just some kind of ritual where he said, well, you know, it's been a while since I brought a peace offering, and you know the priests, they kind of depend on these things, so I guess I'll pick out one of the animals and haul them up there and butcher them there. That was not the motivation. The scriptures that we have read indicate that it was to be out of the voluntary action. Those who were among the redeemed and who rejoiced to be among the redeemed, how would they give thanks to God? They would give thanks to God in the peace offering from which the priests and the Levites would eat. The part of the peace offering that would be burned, that was the part that was not for eating. The innards, the organs, the fat, all of that was burned on the altar. But the rest of the sacrifice was reserved for the priests that they may eat. The one who brought the peace offering did so because he was happy to be among the redeemed. He understood the reality of depravity. He understood the reality of original sin and the curse and the condemnation of his sin. And he came to rejoice in the truth that God provided a gracious remedy for that sin in the person of the Redeemer, whom they had not seen, but who was pictured every day in the offerings on the brazen altar. the burnt offering pictured the acceptance of that sacrifice that Christ would make on the cross, and therefore the dispensing of the blessing of salvation. Notice how the worshiper would draw attention to the blessing of salvation in the peace offering. We find in this chapter that the sacrifice had to be without blemish. You notice that even though in this chapter there is some leeway given as to the gender of the animal or the type of the animal, yet there's no leeway at all on this point. The animal had to be without blemish. And that was to speak of the coming sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who knew no sin and in whom there is no sin. Surely it is the blessing of God's salvation that you have such a Savior as the Lord Jesus Christ. There is cause to give thanks to God. There is in Him no flaw. Every temptation that came the way of the Lord Jesus Christ was merely to reveal that in Him there is no sin, that in Him there is a perfect Redeemer, the only perfect Redeemer. When the devil tempted our Lord, it was not to see if the Savior would cave in. It was to demonstrate that He could not. It was to demonstrate that the Word of God was in his heart, so that in the face of powerful temptation, he responded every time with the Word of God. It is written, it is written, it is written. And so he could say to the devil, "Get thee behind." We give praise to the God of heaven for such a Savior. There could be no better. And the peace offering was designed to emphasize the reality that in the Savior, in the perfection, in the unblemished person of the Savior, we find the message of peace. The message that we are brought to God. Now that was going to be a message that would be heard a long time afterward. We turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Let us look at verse 13. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Isn't it striking that on the night of Christ's birth, that was the leading feature of the one of whom the angel said he had been born the Savior? It was peace. Not the peace of which the world is fond of speaking, which many times is merely the temporary absence of conflict. This is true peace. It is to be reconciled to God. And the testimony of the apostles in the New Testament is that Christ accomplished this peace by His sacrifice at Calvary. He brought us back to God from our estate of enmity and estrangement, and then he brought together in one body Jews and Gentiles. And that peace was wrought by Christ on the cross. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians about this grand reconciliation. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Here's the reality of the peace offering. God is at peace with you. Now, I want to tell you, this is the reality that the devil despises almost more than any other, and that he labors mightily to cause you to neglect and to forget completely if possible. He would have you to be afraid of God. He would have you not to fear God in a biblical sense, that is, in bowing in humble reverence before Him. He would have you to be afraid of God and think that you must do something in your own life to make God to be at peace with you. You've got to make up for failing in some way. That is the devil's game. That is not the message of Christ in the gospel. You don't have to be afraid that God will send you to hell. Because when you have trusted in Christ, you have done so because Christ went to the cross, and there, having been made sin for you, brought you to the place of righteousness with God. The peace offering, the sacrifice of praise, as we find it in the New Testament, proclaims this complete reconciliation. The result of the cross work of Christ is that those who have been justified know that they have been changed, and that they are being changed, that they are being conformed to the image of God's glorious Son. They haven't reached the destination yet, but they are being brought toward it. You're going to be made like Jesus Christ. That's not to say you're going to become a god, but it means that you're going to become as He is, in the glory of His risen body and in the triumph that you will know in your own soul over even the very presence of sin. You're not yet what you will be, but you will be what you will be. That is the message of the peace offering. And you are not now what you once were. The blessing of salvation, the first root of thanksgiving. But let's come now more directly to the second root of thanksgiving, the mediator of salvation. There's a striking picture in Leviticus 3. We find it in other passages as well that deal with sacrifice. But I want you to notice in particular the words of verse 2, which we find repeated elsewhere in the chapter. He shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. In the peace offering, the offer was to carry out the killing of the sacrifice himself. And he was to do so having first laid his hand upon the head of the animal. And there were different kinds of animals that could be used. Goats or sheep or lambs. Lay his hand upon it before killing it. Now there was a tremendous symbol in that act. Because what the offerer was doing in putting his hand upon the head of the animal was identifying himself with the animal. And saying it would only be by the sacrifice of that animal that he could give God praise for the blessings that God had secured through the atonement. What was the message then? The message was, look to the one through whom the blessings are given. Every time we come into God's house, we are to focus our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have these words on the wall behind the pulpit. Behold the Lamb of God. It's not just a decoration. It is a message that I trust will be borne in upon you every time. Let us look to Christ as the source of all our blessings. Let us look at that famous text that we find in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Let's look at verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. There has to be a mediator for there to be salvation. There had to be someone to stand between us and God. And that someone was the perfect sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had to suffer. He had to have stripes laid upon him. Because only by those stripes can his people be healed. The worshiper could not cross the door of the tabernacle, and this act took place at the very entrance to the tabernacle courtyard. The worshiper could not come inside the courtyard without the peace offering having been killed. Until the sacrifice was identified with him, he could not enter. And what is that teaching us? We cannot worship without Christ. We cannot be thankful without Christ. Oh, there are many people who will go through various religious forms this week, but they can't truly worship apart from Christ, from the consciousness that Christ is between us and God. Your thanksgiving must center in Him. The roots of your thanksgiving spring from Him. When we come to God in prayer, when we come to God in praise, when we come to God to sing His praise in the assembly of the congregation, we can only do so with any effect through the Lord Jesus Christ. When you pray, begin by being thankful for the mediator whom God has appointed by which you can approach Him When you come to think upon Him, when you come to dwell upon the fact that He is unblemished, that He is perfect in every respect, then you find yourself joyful in the place of prayer and praise. The mediator of salvation. But the third root of salvation is the power of it. The power of it. Every time a peace offering was given, there was the shedding of blood. And what was that designed to convey? That in giving thanks, we come to the sacrifice. In giving thanks, we come to Calvary. In giving thanks, we come to meditate on our Lord Jesus Christ in this character as the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Is it not striking that it is in this very character that the thanksgiving in heaven redounds? Turn to Revelation. Revelation. Let's look at the end of chapter 4. Revelation 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Acknowledging the Lord as the Creator. But then notice in verse 9 of chapter 5, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Verse 12, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. The Lamb slain is the Lamb to be praised. We are reminded here that the peace that we enjoy with God was not something accomplished easily or cheaply. It cost God dearly to bring us back to Him. We have to think upon that every day of our lives. How can we ever be unthankful? How can we be guilty of ingratitude when we have the Redeemer set before us? He had to kill the sacrifice. It had to be killed. And the blood of the sacrifice had to be sprinkled. So the sacrifice had to die in a very specific way, in a way that would cause the blood to be shed. And that was the evidence that the life had been poured out. Part of what's being emphasized in the peace offering is that when we come to give God thanks, we don't hold anything back. Come to ascribe to Him all that we are, all that we have, we say, is by reason of His mercy. In the worship of God, we don't hold anything back. We give ourselves entirely to the worship of God. Jesus, we may be thankful, did not hold anything back. He gave all. He sacrificed all His blood for the redemption of His people. And now His blood is in heaven and it is speaking for us better things than the blood of Abel. Abel's blood cried out for revenge and God heard that cry. But the blood of Jesus cries out for peace and God hears that cry. This is the power that is in salvation, for which we must be careful to give God thanks. And then one final root of thanksgiving that we find at the cross, and that is the triumph of salvation. It was that the animal having been burned, or part of it having been burned on the altar, it was then to be eaten. You turn to chapter 7 of Leviticus, and to verse 15. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. It was to be eaten. It was, as we read in chapter 3, it was to be made as an offering by fire. And the scriptures elsewhere in Leviticus tell us that these sacrifices were for the benefit as well of Aaron and his sons and the Levites. So that every time they had a meal that was the result of a peace offering, what were they able to consider? The atonement had triumphed. Peace had been made. There was every reason for thanksgiving to arise unto God. That offering and the smoke that ascended from it, we read, was an offering for a sweet savor unto God. God accepted it. And so we may rejoice today in this great truth that redemption has been accomplished. And it has been applied to our souls by the Spirit of God, and that now the reality is God is at peace with you through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's a theme for thanksgiving that I trust will come back again and again to your mind during the course of this day and the days of this week. Again, I say it is a blessing, regardless of how it is used in these days, it is a blessing that we are here in this land, which of all the countries in the world has devoted historically this season of the year to giving thanks to God, recognizing that God is the source of all our blessings. And in this particular setting, it is well for us to reflect on that not only as people of this nation, but also as those whom God has purchased through the blood of the Redeemer and has made us His friends. We can give thanks then and ought to hold nothing back in giving God all our praise.